नमो नमपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण कन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled, fifth chapter, and the chapter is titled as, Srila Prabhupada titled as Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, whereas Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur titles this as Karma Sanyas Yoga. So Karma Sanyas Yoga is literally Jnana Yoga. Okay. Because karma sannyas is the path of jnana. Okay. So, we had discussed, actually, I will do a very quick recap of what we have seen till now. In the third chapter and fourth chapter, we discussed about, Krishna discussed about Nishkama Karma Yoga and its practice. And in the fourth chapter, he explained that how Nishkama Karma Yoga naturally leads to the birth of Jnana. Tatsvayam Yoga Samsiddhir Kalena Atmani Vindati Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyate Tatsvayam Yoga Samsiddhir Kalena Atmani Vindati. So he says that that naturally by the maturity of Nishkama Karma Yoga, it naturally leads to Jnana. So that he was telling last time. And then that's what he mentioned in the fourth chapter. And then in the fifth chapter, actually, Krishna is primarily going to talk about, after reaching the stage of Jnana by the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, what are the options available? That's what he is going to talk about. Okay. So, as we discussed last time, I will go through this chart once more. I know it's quite messy. It's looking quite messy here, but still, try to follow. If you had attended the previous sessions, you might be quite familiar with what I'm going to discuss now. But if you had not, then you can please listen carefully. So this is the mixed path, the path of the gradual path leading to liberation, as Srila Prabhupada calls. Okay. Initially, a person who is a materialistic person, okay, he comes to the stage of a materialistic person when he is willing to accept the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic scriptures allow him to enjoy because he is very, very much interested in having his material enjoyment intact. So the scriptures say, fine, no problem. You can continue to enjoy. Okay, you can continue to enjoy, but enjoy by accepting the rules and regulations of the Shastras. Okay. This is called as Sakama Karma Yoga. In Sakama Karma Yoga, a person is generally a Grihastha. So he accepts the Vedic rules and regulations according to his Varna and Ashrama. And then he enjoys the material fruits that comes out of his practice of Varna Ashrama duties. Whatever piety he gets, he tries to utilize that piety and enjoy whatever benefits that come. But because he has accepted the path of the Vedic rules and regulations, slowly his heart becomes somewhat purified. So his heart becomes somewhat purified and detached from the material fruits. Now his heart becomes somewhat purified and detached from the material fruits. Okay. And he starts identifying liberation as the goal. But even though he has identified liberation as the goal, still his heart is filled with material desires in the form of anarthas. Just like we are sadhakas, we have identified Krishna prema as the goal, but still our heart is filled with anarthas. Similarly, this Nishkama Karma Yogi, which is mentioned here, he is the one whose heart is still impure with anarthas, but he has now identified that material goals are very inferior. I should ideally aspire for liberation. And we called this as Nishkama Karma Yoga 1, because we are going to talk about Nishkama Karma Yoga 2. Okay. So we call this Nishkama Karma Yoga 1, which is Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of karma. So this person has not yet realized the jnana. Okay. So this Nishkama Karma Yoga has not yet matured. So he is not yet ready for jnana. Okay. But when he continues to perform this Nishkama Karma Yoga, he reaches a threshold stage which is called as Yoga Samsiddhi. So the Yoga Samsiddhi means where heart becomes sufficiently purified, where he can meditate on Brahman. Okay. So when he reaches this stage, he has three options. The first option is that he can continue to perform his Varnashram duties. He can remain as a Grihastha, continue to perform his Varnashram duties, but externally, but internally cultivate Jnana. Okay, and meditate on the Brahman. So this we call as Nishkama Karma Yoga 2. This is Nishkama Karma Yoga, but not on the platform of karma, but this is Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of jnana. When the heart has become purified, he may still continue to perform Varnashram duties. He may still continue to remain as a Grihastha, not take up to the external path of sannyas, but internally he is detached, and therefore he is called as a sannyasi only. No one externally calls him a sannyasi, but in reality, because his heart is completely purified and he is completely dedicated to the path of liberation, therefore he is also considered as a sannyasi, even though externally he will be like a grihastha. Okay. And the second option that he has is called Jnana Yoga, or the path of karma sannyas. So karma sannyas is when he gives up the varna duties. When he gives up those varna duties and then focuses on the internal meditation of Brahman, that is called as Jnana Yoga, or he can accept the path of Ashtanga Yoga, which is similar to Jnana Yoga only. And all these three paths can lead one to liberation. Okay. So, and all these three people they have reached the stage of Yoga Samsiddhi, where their heart has already been purified of the material anarthas and knowledge has dawned. It has reached to maturity of knowledge. So now they have to nourish it by internal meditation. But while performing that internal meditation, one can externally continue to practice that Nishkama Karma Yoga. This is called as Nishkama Karma Yoga 2. Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of Jnana, but not on the platform of Karma. Like that. So this is a prelude. You know, this understanding is very foundational to understanding this chapter that we're discussing. I hope at least most of you attended the last couple of sessions where we have discussed this in detail. I hope this is little bit clear. Okay. So this fifth chapter starts with Arjuna again asking a question, which is very similar to the question that he asked at the beginning of the third chapter. Okay. So in the beginning of the third chapter, Arjuna asked the same question. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gore mam niyojayasi keshava. O Krishna, if you think that jnana is better than karma, then why you are engaging me in this warfare of fighting? Okay. So at that time Krishna told, oh Arjuna, I did say that jnana is superior to karma, but there are two kinds of people who have two different qualifications. The one who is qualified for, the one whose heart is already purified, he is qualified for jnana, he can practice jnana yoga. But one whose heart is not yet pure, he is not yet qualified for jnana, he should practice nishkama karma yoga only. And because your heart is not yet pure, you should practice nishkama yoga only. This is what Krishna told. This is what Krishna told Arjuna in the third chapter. Now, in this fifth chapter, Arjuna, because towards the end of fourth chapter also, Krishna glorified jnana. But at the end, he told Arjuna, get up and fight, Arjuna. Okay, get up and fight. Again, Arjuna gets confused. Are again you glorified jnana and again you are asking me to fight? Huh? Can you tell me very clearly, sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha samshasi yat shreya etayorekam tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Krishna, you are glorifying both sanyas and karma yoga. Sanyas means jnana yoga. You are glorifying both sannyasa and karma yoga. Just tell me clearly of the two which is better. And what do you want me to do? Okay. Almost the same question that Arjuna is asking Krishna, that he asked in the third chapter. Krishna says, sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavubhav tayostu karma sannyasa karma yogo vishishyate. So he says, sannyasaha, sannyas refers to karma sannyas, which is jnana yoga. And karma yoga here refers to nishkama karma yoga. But this refers to nishkama karma yoga of the type 2. Okay, type 2. We will see how this refers to type 2. Sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavubhav. Nishreyasa karav means the highest benefit, which here is Sayujya Mukti. So he says that both karma sannyas, which is jnana yoga, and nishkama karma yoga of the type 2, we are talking about this one, right? This nishkama yoga, the second type, nishkama karma yoga at the stage of jnana. So Krishna says both can give up, both can lead to liberation. Tayostu, but of the two, karma sannyasa karma yoga vishishyate. But of the two, better than jnana yoga is nishkama karma yoga type 2. Why? Okay. Because he says that in case if the person, if the practitioner by mistake somehow misjudges the purity of his heart, he thinks that his heart is pure and takes up to sannyas, but later realizes that there is some impurity still there in his heart, then he is trapped. Because he cannot, because sannyas cannot purify his heart. Only nishkama karma yoga can purify his heart. But he has already taken up to sannyas. If he gives it up, the society will criticize him. So he is completely trapped now. What will he do? So therefore Krishna says, look Arjuna, karma yoga, jnana yoga, or here nishkama karma yoga of the type 2 or jnana yoga, both can give you liberation. But of the two, nishkama karma yoga is better because it is safe. Okay. If your heart is already purified, then performing Nishkama Karma Yoga will not deplete anything. It's not a fault for the Jnana Yogi, one who is on the platform of Jnana, to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. For him to continue performing Varnashram duty is not a fault. Okay? But if the heart is already, if the heart is not completely pure, then you are safe. You can continue performing your Nishkama Karma Yoga and it will become pure. So therefore, of the two, Nishkama Karma Yoga of type 2 is better because it is very safe. That is what Krishna is telling. Okay. Sometimes there may arise disturbance in the heart of a premature sannyasi. In order to alleviate that disturbance, what will he do? He has taken up to sannyas. Okay. Disturbance in the heart certainly obstructs the practice of jnana. But taking up enjoyment of sense objects is a real degradation. Okay. So if a sannyasi's heart, he prematurely takes up the sannyas and realizes the heart is not completely pure. So when the sense gratificatory urge pushes him, he will engage in sense gratification, which is forbidden for a sannyasi. Okay. So it's a very calm situation. Therefore, Krishna says, look, forget about this sannyas. Forget about this karma sannyas. Better practice Nishkama Karma Yoga 2, that is safe for you. Okay. Gyeyasya nitya sannyasi yonadveshti na kamshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. So he says, O Gyamd Arjuna, a person engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga with pure heart. So which means a pure-hearted grihastha. So a pure-hearted grihastha who is still continuing his Varnashram duties despite his heart already becoming pure. Okay, because his heart has become pure, yona dveshti na kaankshati. He does not hate anything and he does not desire anything because the heart has already become purified. So, gyeyasya nitya sannyasi, he is neither hating nor desiring. Nitya sannyasi gyayaha. He should be understood to be a nitya sannyasi, a constant sannyasi. Even though he is a grihastha, but he is considered to be a sannyasi only because the heart is purified. Because sannyasi means one who is a karma falatyagi. And karma falatyagi is possible only when the heart is pure. Now, a karma falatyagi can still be a grihastha also. Not a problem. So here this pure-hearted grihastha still performing varnashram duties, okay, of type 2, Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, should be considered as a nitya sannyasi. Okay. Because he does not hate anything, he does not desire anything. Sukam bandhat pramuchyate. He is easily freed from bondage. Such a person is easily freed from bondage. Okay. So, that is what he says here. Okay. It should not be said that taking sannyas gives liberation and not taking sannyas does not give liberation. No. One should not say like that. The pure-hearted person engaged in action should be known as constant sannyasi. Gyeyasya nitya sannyasi. He is a true warrior who conquers the city of liberation. O Mahabaho, just like you are mighty armed and you can conquer the material cities, this nitya sannyasi, who is externally a grihastha only, he is fit to conquer the city of liberation. Okay. Then he says, Sankhya yogau pritakbalaha pravadanti na panditaha yeka astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam. So he says, Balaha, only the ignorant people, Prabhadanti, they speak of Sankhya Yoga Prithak. Only the foolish people talk about Nishkama Karma Yoga 2 and Jnana Yoga being different. Okay. So Jnana Yoga is, you can say, you can call him Sannyasi. And Nishkama Karma Yoga 2, you can call him a Grihastha Sannyasi. Okay. So, only a fool will talk about a Grihastha Sannyasi and a Sannyasi to be different. Yekamapi Astita Samyag Ubayor Vindate Palam. Engaging in either one of these two properly will lead to the result of both, which is liberation. Right? That's what he says. Yat Sankhyaihi Prapyate Sthanam Tadyogairapi Gamyate. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yap Pashi Sapashyati. The goal achieved by Jnana is the goal achieved by Karma. So here Karma refers to Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2. Okay. Which is liberation. Yat Sankhyaihi Prapyate Sthanam Tadyogairapi Gamyate. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yap Pashyati Sapashyati. Therefore, he who is Grihastha Sannyas and Sannyas to be the same is actual seer. Like that. Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkamaptum Ayogataha Yoga Yukto Manir Brahma Nachirenadi Gachati. So, says that if a person directly take up to sannyas without completely and properly practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, his sannyas will fail. But a Grihastha Sannyasi, even though he has attained purification of heart, even if he may continue performing his Varnashram duties, he will very quickly achieve liberation. Okay. But a premature sannyasi, again and again, the point is being mentioned. If a premature sannyasi takes up the sannyas without properly practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, he will certainly suffer in this material world only. There is no liberation for him. Rather, he may even go to hell and suffer because he has prematurely given up his Varna Dharma, which will lead to accumulation of Papa, because of which he may even have to go to hell and suffer. Whereas the Grihastha Sannyasi very quickly achieves liberation. The whole aspect of glorifying this Nishkama Karma Yoga 2 or Grihastha Sannyas by Krishna here is because it is very safe. It is very safe. Okay. Then we saw that Yoga to Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhutatma Kurvan Apina Lipyate. So he says, Yoga Yuktaha. This Grihastha Sannyasi, how do we say Grihastha Sannyasi? Vishuddhatma. His intelligence is purified. Vijitatma. His mind is purified. Jitendriya. His senses are purified. So therefore he has controlled his mind, intelligence and senses. Even though he is engaged in the Grihastha Ashram only. So this Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya. Kurvan apina lipyate. Even though he may be engaged in his Varnashrama duties, na lipyate, he will not be contaminated. Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhutatma, and he is the object of love of all living entities. So he is the object of love of all living entities. Even though he may be engaged in work, he will not be contaminated. He will not be contaminated because he has already attained the requisite level of purification. Okay. So, why this type of Grihastha Sannyas why a grihastha sannyasi is not contaminated even though he is engaged in all types of actions. The explanation that is given is that naivanchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jikran ashnan gachan swapan swashan pralapan visirjan grinnan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyateshu vartanta iti dharayan. So it is mentioned that the person engaged in grihastha sannyas, even though he may be engaged in all kinds of activities, he has the proper knowledge and understanding that in all his activities of eating, seeing, touching, smelling, etc., it is only the senses which are coming in touch with the sense object, and he, the soul, is not doing anything at all. So even though he is a grihastha, but in engaging in all these actions, he very clearly understands that he is not the doer. He, the soul, is not the doer. But it is only the senses which are coming in touch with the sense objects. So therefore, so with this understanding, when he is acting, he will not be touched. Kurvan apina lipyate. Okay. That is what he is mentioning here. So, this is where we ended our discussion last time. Before we continue today's discussion from the chapter, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, please go ahead. We have elaborately recapped what we have seen till now in the fifth chapter. This is a very pivotal concept that we have discussed about the comparison between the regular sannyas and grihastha sannyas. So till now, Krishna in this section from 1 to 9, he has glorified grihastha sannyas to be better than the regular sannyas because grihastha sannyas is safe. That is the point that we have discussed till now. Anything anyone would like to share as add? Is anything not clear? You can please ask. Okay. If it is clear, then let us continue the discussion further. Krishna continues. Brahmanyadaya karmani. Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay. This is a very good question, chat box. The question is Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1? Is he a Karma Falatyagi? Has he completely given up attachment to the material fruits? This is the question asked in the chat box. Well, the Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1 and Nishkama Karma Yogi type 2, what is the difference? Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1 has no material abhilashas. Nishkama Karma Yogi 2 also has no material abhilashas. But Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1 has anarthas. Therefore, he has attachment to karma phala as an anartha. Whereas Nishkama Karma Yogi type 2 has no anarthas. Therefore, there is no attachment to karma phala. even as anarthas. Like that. Is it clear or not clear? Okay. Let's continue. If there are no further discussion points, we will continue our discussion. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karuyah lipyate na sa papena padma patram ivambasa. So he says here that he says yaha person sangam tyaktva, that person giving up attachment. So yaha here refers to either Nishkama Karma Yogi 2, we will call him Nishkama Karma Yogi 2, or we will call him Grihastha Sannyasi. Okay. So this Grihastha Sannyasi, Sangam Tyaktva, giving up attachment, Brahmani Adaya Karmani, he offers his actions to the Supreme Lord. Okay. He offers his actions to the Supreme Lord. Okay. Lipyate nasa papena, he is not contaminated by sin in those actions. He is not contaminated by sin in those actions. Lipyate nasa papena, padma patram iva ambasa, just as a lotus leaf is not touched by water. The same point is again mentioned. He had already mentioned it before. Now he is again emphasizing the same point that Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tattva karotiyah lipyate nasapena padma patram ivambasa. Okay. So that grihastha sannyasi who has given up all attachment to material fruits, okay, and he offers his actions to the Supreme Lord, he is not contaminated by sin in those actions, just as a lotus leaf is not touched water. So Srila Vishnachaka Thakur says, moreover, he who offering all his actions unto me, the Supreme Lord, giving up attachment to actions, giving up false identification of I am doing it, performs actions, is not contaminated at all by actions of which some could even be sinful. Right? Papena here presents all actions, not just the sinful ones. Okay. Lipyate nasa papena means papena kam punyena. Okay. Because punya is also contaminating. So that's what he says here. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti lipyate nasa papena padma patram ivambasa. So that grihastha sannyasi who gives up attachment and offers his actions to the Supreme Lord is not contaminated by sin by those actions. Just as a lotus leaf is not touched by water. So, lipyate nasa apena here refers to, he is not touched by any reactions, papa punya. He is not touched by any papa or punya. That's what it means. Right? So, I mean, it's the same repetition of the same principle that we have already seen. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions here before we move forward? Okay, let's continue then. Then Krishna continues. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indriyair api yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. So the karma yogis here refers to, so here what this refers to, I will read the translation, then you tell me what this refers to. Okay. The karma yogis yoginaha karma kurvanti, they perform action Here action refers to varnashram duties. Okay. The karma yogis perform varnashram duties. Sangam tyaktva, giving up attachment to the results. Atma shuddhaye, for the purification of mind. So they perform action using kayena manasa buddhya. They use their voice, mind and intelligence to perform the actions. Kevalindriya rapi, or sometimes they may just use the senses alone. Okay. So here my question to you is, which karma yogi is mentioned here? Is it type 1 or type 2, and why? Can someone share your thoughts on this? Okay, Vrajradhe Mataji says type 1. Can you tell me why, Mataji? Why do you say that it is type 1? Because he says that because Atma Shuddhaye, because he is doing it for purification of his mind or purification of his heart, which means it is not yet purified. So therefore, this must be referring to Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1, which is practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of karma. So this is a preliminary stage. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. The Nishkama Karma Yogis, the preliminary Nishkama Karma Yogi, are the unpurified grihastha. Okay, you can say. So there is, okay, another question. We will take that question. So he says, the Karma Yogis perform action giving up attachment to results, sangam tyaktva, for the purification of the mind, using voice, mind and intelligence, or even the senses alone. Right. So here Srila Vishnu Thakur says that the karma yogis perform actions using the body, mind, intelligence and even the senses alone while giving up attachment for purification of the mind. At the time of making offerings of oblations using the senses, the mind may wander. This is the manner in which only the senses are employed. Sometimes when the mind is not, you know, when one is not able to engage the mind, then one engages at least the senses. So, okay. So this is Nishkama Karma Yogi type 1. So there is a question in the chat box. Does all of these steps refer to yoga ladder only? Yes, all of these steps refer to yoga ladder. What is it for bhakti yoga? Bhakti yoga is a totally different thing. We have not yet started discussing bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is adho shraddha, tatra sandhusanga, ravajan kriya, anantana vritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. This is the bhakti yoga ladder. This is a totally different ladder. Mixed path. This is the ladder for the mixed path. But bhakti yoga is a totally different ladder. Like that. Any quick questions? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. Next verse. Yuktah karma phalam tyaktva shantim apnoti naishtikim ayuktah kama karena phale sakto nibadhyate. Yuktah, he who is engaged in karma yoga, karma phalam tyaktva, while giving up results, naishtikim shantim apnoti, he attains liberation. Whereas ayuktah, one who is not engaged in karma yoga, phale saktaha, being attached to the results, kama karena, out of lust, nibadhyate, he becomes bound up. So what is this verse talking about? This is my question to you. What is this verse talking about? This could mean two things, but I am asking you, in your opinion, what is this verse talking about? You can please raise your hands and answer this question. What, in your opinion, is this verse talking about? He who is engaged in karma yoga while giving up the results gains liberation. But one who is not engaged in karma yoga, being attached to the results out of lust, becomes bound up. What is this verse talking about, in your opinion? You have heard this whole discussion till now. So now my question to you is, in your opinion, what is this verse talking about? Can you please share your thoughts? Anyone? You can either raise your hands or type your answer in the chat box. Okay, there is some answer coming. Okay, Vrajrade Mataji says that this is talking about Sakama Karma Yoga. Okay, comparison between Nishkama Karma Yoga and Sakama Karma Yoga. Shyamlal Prabhu also says that this is a comparison between Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. Any other answer? You may choose a different answer also. Okay, now my question to you is that, could it actually talk about, Shyamlal Prabhu says, or it may even be talking about someone who is not practicing any karma yoga, sakama or nishkama. Now my question is, could it actually be talking about a grihastha sannyasi versus a premature sannyasi? So if you take karma yogi to mean nishkama karma yogi type 2 or even type 1 for that matter, and not engaged in karma yoga, could this refer to a premature sannyasi? Okay, and if you read the same verse, does it make sense to you? This is my question to you. So he who is a grihastha sannyasi while giving up the results attains liberation, but one who is not engaged in karma yoga because he has taken up a premature sannyas, being attached to the results out of lust, he becomes bound up. Does this explanation of this verse seem reasonable to you? That's my question to you. Is this explanation reasonable? Okay, Vrajrade Mataji says yes. Others, please share your thoughts. You know, you have to involve yourself, please. Otherwise, it's just, you know, because this is not, we are not talking pastimes here. We are talking hardcore philosophy. So you have to involve yourself. Only then it would be possible. Yes. Okay. So I think if what Shyamlal Prabhu and Vrajrade Mataji told, in my opinion, that is also a right explanation of this verse. That a person who is engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga, who has given up the results, he attains liberation. But a Sakama Karma Yogi or a materialistic person, being attached to the results out of lust, he becomes bound up to this material world. This explanation also is right. Or else, in the context of the discussion that we have been discussing, which is a comparison between a premature sannyasi and the grihastha sannyasi, so this verse could also mean a grihastha sannyasi who gives up attachment to the results attains liberation, whereas a premature sannyasi, being attached to the results out of lust, becomes bound up. Right? Let us see how Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is explaining this verse in his commentary. So he says, performing action with no attachment leads to liberation, and performing action with attachment leads to bondage. The performer of Kamayoga attains steady peace, Naishtikim Shantim. This means he attains liberation. The Karmi with desires, Ayuktaha, which means he is not engaged in Karma Yoga, who is attached to the results due to performing actions out of lust, becomes bound. Okay. He is explaining it in the way that you have explained. Okay. So, like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion, right? So till now, we have completed two sections where essentially in these two sections, Krishna has actually does that how Grihastha Sannyas is better than premature Sannyas. Okay. Or even Grihastha Sannyas is safer to taking actual Sannyas because of safety. Okay. So, okay, let us continue now. In this next section, he is going to talk about knowledge of the three doers. Okay. Now he says, Sarva Karmani Manasa. Sanyasyaste sukam vashi navadware pure dehi naiva kurvanna kayan. So sanya, renouncing sarva karmani, the activities, manasa, by the mind, but while engaging in them, sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. Okay, so therefore, while engaging them in them is implied. So here also, he is talking about the Grihastha Sannyasi. Okay. He is not attached to the actions. He is attached to Brahman only. But he is performing actions only externally. While internally, he is detached from the actions. That is why it is mentioned. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. So manasa sanyasya means he has detached himself from the actions from within the mind, but externally he is still acting. So this indicates he is talking about this Grihastha Sannyasi. Okay. So okay, there is a question in the chat box, but Prabhuji joined a little late, but still we will take that question. It doesn't matter whether Grihastha Sannyasi or premature Sannyasi, both should have overcome the urges of the senses. Yeah, if he is a premature Sannyasi, how he would have overcome the urges? He cannot overcome the urges. That is why we are calling him a premature Sannyasi. Premature Sannyasi means without sufficient purification, he has taken up to sannyas. So therefore, he will fall within the category of mithyachara. Therefore, he will call. So this premature sannyasi is a mithyachari sannyasi. Like that. Okay. Okay. So sarva karma manasa sannyasya, renouncing the activities by the mind, but while engaging in them, vashi. Vashi means he has controlled the senses, controlling the senses. Dehi sukam aste. He remains comfortable. He remains very comfortable. Navadware pure. In the body, which is a city of the nine gates. Naiva kurvan na karayan. Okay. Knowing that he does nothing nor causes anyone to do anything. So this Grihastha Sannyasi, renounces the activities by the mind, even though he may externally be engaging in these activities. And because his heart is completely purified, his senses are completely controlled, and he remains comfortable in the body, you know, without getting agitated by the urges. Okay. Navadware pure dehi sukam aste. He comfortably remains in the body, which is compared to the city of nine gates. Naiva kurvanna karayan. Knowing that he does nothing nor causes anyone to do anything. So, with very clear understanding that he is not the doer, he remains very comfortably situated within the body. So, this is, whether he is a grihastha sannyasi or an ordinary sannyasi, regular sannyasi, regular qualified sannyasi, this applies to both of them. Right? So, here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, if one performs actions without attachment, as previously stated in verse 3, he is the real sannyasi. Yaya nitya sannyasi yonadveshti na kamshati nirdvandvo himaham mahabaho sukam bandha pramuchyate. Right? So, if one performs actions without attachment, as previously stated in verse 3, he is the real sannyasi. If one performs actions with the external body, but renounces in the mind, one resides happily controlling the Vashi. Where? One resides in the city of nine gates, in the body, devoid of the misconception of this is me. He does not identify with the body. He thinks that this is the city of nine gates. And I am a resident of this city. But I am not the city. That is his understanding. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. It is only the senses which are coming in touch with the sense objects, interacting with the sense objects. But I am not doing anything. This is his understanding. Huh? So, that is what he is saying here. Indriyani indriyarteshu. Just hold on for a second. Just hold on one second. So, I'm sorry. Someone rang the bell. I'm sorry. So, that is what he says here. That one resides in the city of nine gates in the body. Without identification with the body. Okay. So, the dweller in the body, the jiva, having attained knowledge, does nothing at all. Nothing at all means there is no reaction for his action. Why? Because A, there is detachment from roots, and B, there is no bodily identification. Okay. The dweller in the body, the jiva, having attained knowledge, does nothing at all, knowing that he is not the cause of happiness through his actions. And that he is not the cause of others doing actions. Okay. So this is the first thing he says. I am not the doer. He understands this very clearly. Renouncing the activities by the mind while engaging in them. Controlling the senses, he remains comfortable in the body, which is the city of nine gates. Knowing that he does nothing nor causes anything. Anyone to do anything. Okay. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as and. ओके, देर इज समथिंग इतेदाम सी समिद्धो मेर भस्मसात कुरुते अर्जुन ज्ञानाग्नि सर्वकर्माणि भस्मसात कुरुते तथा। ओके आई डोंट नो। ओके व्हाई यू हैव कोटेड दिस वर्स? या करेक्ट, यू कैन से या ज्ञानाग्नि सर्व कर्माणि भस्मसात कुरुते तथा। या सिमिलर, या यू कैन से ट्रू। सो देयर इज अनदर क्वेश्चन इन द चैट बॉक्स। इट इज डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट ही डस नथिंग nor causes anyone to do anything. Can you please elaborate or give examples? He does nothing means he does not generate karma. His actions do not generate karma. That is the meaning of he does nothing. Okay. And he does not cause anyone to do anything means impelled by him, if someone else does something, then he does not reap karma for that also. So basically, he is completely free of karma. That's what this verse talks about. Naiva kurvan na karayam. So he is not responsible for his own actions, and impelled by him, if someone else commits some actions, he will not get reaction for that also. That is the meaning of this. Okay. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Shall we move ahead to the next verse? Okay, there is one question in the chat box. If everything talks about yoga ladder, then why this chapter is called Action in Krishna Consciousness? Okay, Srila Prabhupada calls it Action in Krishna Consciousness because practically the first six chapters, according to the other acharyas, is not talking about bhakti. It is talking about karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. But Srila Prabhupada, understanding that in this Kali Yuga, it is not possible to practice any of these yogas, therefore he directly talks only about bhakti in all these chapters. Karma yoga means bhakti yoga. Buddhi yoga means bhakti yoga. So like that, practically for every, either directly in the translation or in the purport, Prabhupada talks about bhakti yoga. Because what is the point in very technically explaining all these other yogas when it is practically impossible to follow these yogas in today's day and age? So therefore, Prabhupada translates it as Action in Krishna Consciousness, even though strictly speaking, Krishna has not yet introduced bhakti in a serious way in Bhagavad Gita till now. Sporadically here and there he has spoken about bhakti, but in a serious way, that discussion that is happening right now is a comparison between karma yoga and jnana yoga, and there is no discussion of bhakti till now, according to the explanation of the other acharyas. But Prabhupada says, why should I explain karma yoga and jnana yoga when it is impossible to practice in this age of Kali? So therefore, he speaks about bhakti yoga. Otherwise, the other acharyas titled this chapter as Karma Sanyas Yoga. Karma Sanyas Yoga. Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
So Prabhuji, you are saying that the person who, that the grihastha sannyasi, he does not do any action at all. It also means that any of his actions does not impel others to do any karma or develop reaction. I mean, that is difficult to understand. The
Which means he will not be held responsible for his own actions. He will not get any karmic reactions for his own actions. And if seeing him, So, if someone else does some inappropriate act, he will not be karmically held responsible even for that.
Okay, somebody tries to imitate him like that.
Somebody to imitate him, he is not karmically responsible even for that.
Okay. Right. I thought because a grihastha sannyasi, because he is dealing with the world outside, there will be some dealings which people get. Somebody else may be either irritated or envious or whatever.
Correct.
How can the other person who gets envious and does something wrong?
He will get the reaction. Yeah. But the grihastha sannyasi will not get any reaction from that.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Purushottam Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dandapuna.
Dandapuna.
My question is the reason the person get bound by action is because of the false ego, isn't it?
Yes.
And the intelligence also impurified or not purified yet.
Correct.
In that case, the Jivatma takes the ownership. Because of that, he's bound by karma.
Correct.
The Jivatma don't have that false ego and the intelligence is purified, then the karta will be, it could be three modes of material nature, or it could be, the senses, the various things, the five doers that is explained in the 18th chapter, no? The Adhishtanam, Tathakarta, Karanam, Chapa.
They are not doers. The five are not doers as such. They are the causes of success. But there are three doers mentioned here. One is the Jiva, Prakriti, and the Supreme Lord. But all three are doers in the sense the Jiva is the desiring doer, the Prakriti is the accomplishing doer, and the Supreme Lord is the sanctioning doer. So the Jiva desires.
My doubt is, Prabhuji, so when the Jivatma, don't initiate the action because there is no false ego and the intelligence is purified. That it should be inspired by the Lord or Prakriti. There is no other option for the Jivatma.
No. He will not do acts for sense gratification, but he will do acts for maintenance of the body. That he will definitely do.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So that act will be, that desire is coming from the Jiva only. But he, while not being identifying with the body, he's not identifying with the body. He's not in false ego, true ego. But still for bodily maintenance, for the performance of his sadhana, for that he has to maintain his body. For that he will actually...
for that senses, actually, body, mind. Yes,
so it. That desire is coming from the Jiva only.
Yes.
But it will be reaction free. That there will be no reaction for that action performed, even though it is formed with the desire of the Jivatma. But it is not on the platform of false ego.
So that comes into akarma, correct, Prabhuji?
That is akarma, correct.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Prabhuji.
Okay, anything else anyone would like to share? Yes. Okay, if there is none, let us continue. Then, next verse. Na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala samyogam swabhavastu pravartate. Prabhu, the Supreme Lord, na srijati, the Lord does not create lokasya karmani kartritvam. Lokasya means jiva lokasya, the jivas. Karmani, actions. Kartritvam, doership. Okay. Prabhu, the Supreme Lord. srijati does not create. The Lord does not create the doership of the actions performed by the jivas. He does not create the doership. Na karma phala samyogam, nor does he force the results of actions on the jiva. Okay, he does not say, oh, take this reaction, take this reaction. He does not bind the jiva with the karma. So the Lord is not responsible for the jiva's doership, a feeling of doership. And the Lord does not personally force the reactions, the results of the actions on the jiva. Swabhavastu pravartate. This takes place by the jiva's nature. What is he talking about here? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, well, if the jiva is actually not the doer of activities, then from seeing the jiva doing and enjoying everywhere in the universe created by the Supreme Lord, I think that the Lord has created the jiva's illusory doership and enjoying, forcing it upon the jiva. Therefore, injustice and cruelty must be present in the Lord. So if the jiva is not the doer, then, but we do see that the jiva is doing lot of things and enjoying everywhere in this material world. So therefore, the jiva's illusory doership and enjoying is forced upon the jiva by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, injustice and cruelty must be present in the Supreme Lord. He wants the jivas to suffer in this material world by putting the jiva under illusion. Okay. Someone may say like this. This is the Purvapaksha argument. Okay. But the answer is no. That is not true at all. Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu. He does not make the jiva do activities, nor does he give the jiva the results of his activities. He is not forcing the jiva to act, and he is not giving the jiva the karma of those kind of activities. Rather, the nature of the jiva in the form of his beginningless ignorance alone produces this. Anadi avidya. So it is his karma vasanas which is forcing the jiva to. So the jiva is eternal and his ignorance is also eternal. Okay. And that ignorance is pushing the jiva to perform activities for his own sense gratification. And that ignorance makes the jiva assume the false identification as the doer. So, we have discussed this verse many, many times. I will again repeat it. Bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshitasya ishadapetasya viparyayo asmritihi tanmayayato buddha avajetam bhaktyaika isham guru devatatma. So here, what is the sequence of samsara that is described? First, he says that it is ishadapetasya. The jiva is turning away from Krishna. Okay. Then tan mayayato. Then maya catches him to facilitate his enjoyment separate from Krishna. Okay. And it catches him through viparyayo and asmriti. Okay. By making him forget his constitutional position. And by making him identify with the body. Okay. So, then what happens? Dvitiya Abhinivesh. So, Dvitiya Abhinivesh means absorption in matter. Tanmayayato Buddha Abhajetam Bhakteka Isham Guru Devatatma. So, then comes Bhayam Syad. So, when he becomes absorbed in matter, because matter is temporary and the jiva is eternal, he is always under fear that when he will lose it. This is the fear of samsara. Okay. So, therefore, he says that, therefore, the ignorance makes the jiva, because the jiva has eternally been turning away from Krishna, okay, therefore his ignorance is also eternal. Okay. And that is the cause of his false identification. The jiva's nature, tatastha nature, and because of which he has eternally changed, turned away from Krishna, that is the cause of the jiva's misidentification and actions performed by his misidentification and the resultant karma. The Lord is not the cause. Na kartratvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karmafala sanyogam swabhavastu pravartate. It is the nature of the jiva in the form of his beginningless in ignorance, anadi avidya, that is the cause. It is not the Lord who is the cause of his performing his actions and the results of his actions. It is not the Lord, but the nature of the jiva which is the cause. Okay. The avidya is the cause. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as and? Okay. If there is none, let's continue. Then, in the next verse, Krishna says, Nadate kasya chitpapam nachaiva sukritam vibuhu agyane navritam jnanam tena muyyanti jantavaha. Thus, the Lord Vibuhu na adate kasya chitpapam nachaiva sukritam. So, therefore, the Lord does not receive the sinful or pious reaction from those actions. So the Lord does not receive the sinful or pious reactions from those actions. Because if the Lord is impelling the jiva to commit sinful activities, then the Lord should get the reaction for those actions. But because the Lord is not impelling the jiva to perform these kind of inappropriate actions, therefore the Lord will not receive the sinful or pious reaction for those actions. Jnanam, the jiva's knowledge, avritam, is covered Agyanena. The jiva's knowledge is covered by ignorance. Tena muyanti jantavaha. Because of this, the living entities are bewildered. Right? So, the jiva's knowledge is covered by ignorance. Because of this, the living entities are bewildered. That's what we saw, right? Ishad apetasya. The jiva, out of ignorance, has turned his face away from Krishna. Okay? So, the Lord is not forcing the jiva to act in a particular way. So, therefore, the Lord should not get the pious reaction or the impious reaction for the actions performed by the jiva. The jiva is covered by ignorance. Because of this, the living entities are bewildered. That is Maya. Okay. There is a very interesting question. If there is no role of the Lord, then why some jivas are Nitya Baddhas and some are Nitya Siddhas? This is a very good question. This is a very good question. But the answer for this question, you will have to attend Jaiva Dharma to get the answer for this question. Because one full chapter is dedicated to describing this. I will not describe it right now. So, please attend Jaiva Dharma. We are starting it on February 13th. Every Monday and Tuesday, 7 to 9 will be Jaiva Dharma. So if you have not registered, you can register if you wish. Okay. It is a novel written by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. Stories. Stories with conversation. Philosophical conversations. So, where you get to understand the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture through the storyline. You understand the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture through the storyline, and you will understand the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta through the conversations that happen between the personalities there. Very beautifully interwoven, where the storyline is finely interwoven with beautiful philosophical conversations. So, in which practically the whole of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is very beautifully presented in the form of a story. You will find it very, very interesting. So, I am just advertising for the course. So, please, if you have an opportunity, please try to attend Jaiva Dharma. Okay, so I will take this particular question there. Okay, this is a very valid question. This is a very, very valid question. If there is no role of the Lord, then why some jivas are Nitya Baddhas and some jivas are Nitya Siddhas? It's a very valid point. So we will definitely discuss this. Okay, but for now, the Lord does not receive the sinful or pious reaction for those actions because the Lord does not induce the jiva to perform those actions. It is the avidya of the jiva that is the cause. It is the nature of that jiva, that avidya, that is the cause. But the Lord does not force the jiva to perform. Therefore, the Lord will not get any pious reaction if the jiva performs some pious activity, and the Lord will not get any sinful reaction if the jiva performs some sinful activity. The jiva's knowledge is covered by ignorance. Because of this, the living entities are bewildered. So, here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, since the Lord does not make the jiva do either good or bad actions, he does not experience the results in the form of suffering or enjoyment. he does not accept na adatte. He is not responsible for them. You cannot punish the Lord for the actions performed by the jiva. However, one of his associates, his shakti called ignorance, covers the inherent knowledge of the jiva. Because of this, the jivas are bewildered and hence act and suffer or end their own karma. Ajnanena avritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha. Okay. Like that. Otherwise, the Lord is not the cause. Nadatte kasichit papam nachaiva sukritam vibhu. Ajnanena avritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantavaha. Okay. So now we have one more verse, but before that, if there is any quick discussion points and questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay, there is a question from the second chapter. Okay, if it is connected to the discussion that we are doing, I will answer. If not, maybe later. I was just going through the recordings of verse 2.41, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, where we see that for us, the sadhya is the same as our sadhana. I did not understand where does preaching fit into the pep, because ours is a preaching movement. Oh, like that. Okay. So whom will we preach to? Whom will we preach to at the stage of perfection? Is that what you are asking? Because preaching is a sadhana. If our sadhana and sadhya are the same at the stage of perfection, whom will we preach to? Is that your question? I am just trying to understand your question. Oh, it is not included in Navada Bhakti. Oh, like that. Yeah, preaching is, you can say, definitely kirtanam. If you are preaching by words, it is kirtanam. If you are preaching through your actions, it is, Vaishnava Seva, which is also a limb of devotional service. So it could be anything, right? So you can preach through, serving prasadam. So all of that is, you can call it jiva, Vaishnava Seva, like that. So all of that, any activity that you do, any means of preaching can be fit into one of the 64 limbs, like that. Okay. I think we will pause here and take the next verse next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.